Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Lani Ka'a'a.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose, offering perspectives of hope through Jesus Christ. Hawaii, New York, and Gulu, Uganda. How have these places shaped the life of Ashley Bird? A member of Kamehameha School's state championship wrestling team in 1998, a Division I collegiate wrestler at Columbia University, Ashley's life took a turn when he encountered Jesus Christ. Well, we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to lead you, dear friend, closer and closer to Jesus Christ. And no matter what you're going through or what you're facing, no matter how tough things may be, there is always hope in Jesus who loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins. Jesus shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, who has touched the heart of Ashley Bird, is reaching out to you. It's our hope and our prayer that you would open your heart to the Lord. And if you're a follower of Christ, we believe this will be a time to really lift you up, to encourage you. Ashley Bird is the director of forums at the Veritas Forum, and he's associate director of faculty ministry for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, where he develops resources to serve Christian faculty. He earned his bachelor's degree, his BA in economics, at Columbia University in New York City, where he and his family lived until 2020. He recently returned to Hawaii, where he lives with his wife Carly and their daughters Hiva and Kalama in Kailua. Ashley, welcome to our show.
It's so good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Ashley, we talked a little bit about Hawaii, but tell us more. Where in Hawaii did you grow up, and what was it like?
I grew up kind of moving around a lot. So most of my family lives on the west side, Ewa Beach and Wahiwa. And I guess my immediate family, we were in Red Hill for a while. We lived in Maile as well. And then Ewa Beach, along with some of our other family members.
Who would you say influenced you most, Ashley, in your growing up years?
My hands down, my mom. She's one of those super moms that, she was a single parent for a while and at a young age, too. And so, in some ways, she and I grew up together in a lot of ways. It was really her influence that shaped me most significantly.
You can talk a little bit more. Ashley, what was it about that your mom, things that she said, things that she did that really stand out to you, even to this day?
Yeah. Well, I guess when it comes to just how to treat people, most of the people in her life would probably think of her as somebody that listens well, that prioritizes relationships, that, tries to be helpful. Her faith is just an ingrained part of her life, and hard fought as well. She didn't have a smooth kind of life within the church, and really had to discern just the voice of Jesus for herself. And I think that's been important for me too, is just to know that there's a difference between, you know, who God is and oftentimes, you know, what we see in ourselves, as well as, you know, what we see in our church around us, or our brothers and sisters.
How did you become a Christian?
You know, there probably wasn't ever a time where I didn't think that God was real. I think there are certain points where I was marked, just with a strong conviction of God's love and presence. So one, when I was in elementary school, my mom explained the gospel to me. And at that point, you know, I remember crying, you know, not weeping, but just so touched and impressed that God would die for us. And I think the struggle with, you know, childhood faith, and that was a genuine faith at the time, but the struggle with that is, you know, how do you internalize that love in such a way that you become a follower of Jesus? And that didn't happen for me until much later. I mean, kind of much later, you know, in high school. I think maybe around my freshman and sophomore year, I really did start wrestling with what it meant to follow Jesus. And it was in some ways it was a dynamic conversion where, you know, Jesus says, you know, if you lay down your life, you'll find it. And I think maybe that's a process that maybe every teenager kind of needs to go through as well, when the season is you're so focused on yourself or tempted to focus on yourself. You know, how do you, in a sense, die to that self-focus and follow someone like Jesus to be your leader and to accept his love as someone that defines you more concretely than anything you might even be feeling? That's a real experience. And so, yeah, around that time, some of the things that happened was, I think I just needed some space. So I remember just socially with some friends that I was really close with, I needed some space from those relationships, because in a lot of ways those relationships defined me. And I needed some time to kind of find myself apart from maybe that community, as well as even just with my family. I just remember thinking, just being really at peace with walking up, you know, Kamehameha campus, you know, alone, and understanding that God is actually with me and that he loved me. And it was just a season of really internalizing that as the deepest reality, that I think set me up well to have a real relationship with him versus just kind of believing in him or things about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lonnie?
You know, I'm so interested in that, you know, the high school years, and I know you're still involved with touching younger people with the work that you do. What are some of the lessons, or when you look back at that time, what are some of the deep moments that sort of changed your perspective? And I ask this question because, you know, our youth today, as you probably run into all the time, are so distracted. You know, obviously there's a lot more distractions trying to grab their attention than there were back then. What were some of the things that held you close to Jesus in a time where I'm sure you faced distractions as well?
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't know if other people are like this, but When I was in high school, I can remember just some of the first things I read. You know, that's, I mean, I read the Bible before, and, you know, I'd read it kind of like cover to cover at around that point too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, every day we open up this book that's over 2,000 years old, and it takes some work to really just kind of even understand the words on the page. And so to hear just in kind of a more modern voice what other people think about the scriptures or about faith, you know, the reason why people find shows like this helpful, you know, because you get to see maybe the truths in scripture embodied. And so, yeah, so I just remember some of the first things that I read that were not the Bible, but about the Bible. It was like a commentary on Peter. And I just found it in a box of books.
Wow.
At Kamehameha. And that really just, you know, verse by verse, you know, just standing out to me. And I picked up some other books as well. So, you know, I think books is important. Solitude, like I mentioned, it might sound countercultural, but I think this might be why people like surfing or individual sports. Just having some internal space, as well as maybe a kind of external space. Different people need different kinds of space externally, but space to be in your own head and to examine yourself. That was really helpful, you know, for me. And even to this day, it's part of, I make sure that I have some time of solitude and quiet to be present to myself and to God. Yeah, it's hard to be present to God when you're unaware of yourself as well. So I think it goes hand in hand. It's also hard to be present to God when you're not present to the people around you. So, those are some of the anchors that helped me. And then maybe the last one would be having goals. And so I wanted the best life possible. And at the time, you know, being young, I over-indexed on the best life possible equals maybe money and, you know, opportunity. So I thought that kind of stuff, or success. But that hunger to have the best life, to maximize like opportunities, was also something that anchored me to say, you know, if God is real, is it possible to have like the best life if he's, you know, if he's not at the center? It looks like the scripture is saying he has to be at the center. He can't be on the peripheral. He can't be a co-pilot. And so that's what I started wrestling with in that season, is like, is God going to be in the center, or is he going to, you know, be, you know, someone that I go to when I'm having problems, or, you know, at a funeral or something like that.
You're listening to Ashley Byrd. Ashley is the director of forums at the Veritas Forum. He's responsible for students, staff, and faculty hosting public forums that model inspire conversations about faith on campuses across America. So across North America. When we come back from our break, we'll hear more from Ashley. As you can tell, he's describing his internal life and his thoughts, his feelings, his experiences, his reflections. And out of the reflections come insights. Insights that he passes on to us. Do you have time? Have you been reflective? Have you been having periods of solitude that are necessary? Have you had times of quiet? More with Ashley Byrd, Veritas.org, when we come back.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 384-2042. There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, when you listen to Ashley Byrd speak, you'll hear him mention from time to time that he was, especially when he's talking about his relationship with God early on in life, he talks about wrestling with various aspects of his feelings, his thoughts, in his experiences. He was also actually a wrestler, wrestled with the state championship team at Kamehameha Schools, 1998, and also wrestled for 4 years at Columbia University in New York City. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host Lonnie Ka'a'a. If you're tuning in right now, or maybe caught the tail end of the last segment, you can get the program in its entirety. Just go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, free podcast. And as we typically say, go ahead and share it with a family member or friend. And to learn more about Veritas Forum, go to veritas.org. Again, veritas.org. Ashley, when you were at Columbia, how did the Lord lead you or call you to campus ministry with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship?
You know, not everything works out this way, but for me, it was both a long story and a short story. So part of maybe a longer conversation that I had been having with God. And you know, also a pretty defining moment in a conversation. So, you know, the short story is, you know, when someone from InterVarsity, a regional leader, had asked me if I'd consider joining their staff team, I immediately said no. I already had plans after graduation, was already engaged, already had some job prospects. This is my senior year in college, right after 9/11, it's like October.
Yeah.
And, you know, there wasn't that much weight behind, you know, like I wasn't like, oh my gosh, should I do this or not? You know, it was just a very matter of fact kind of thing. And then I remember that weekend, so that might've been midweek, and that weekend, I think we had something with wrestling going on. And, I just remember praying. And I don't usually, I think, get on my knees, but I just felt like I wanted to focus. I may have been on my knees, you know, in my dorm room. And I mean, I don't know if I was really saying anything to God. I might have just been more holding it up to him. And, you know, in my mind and in my heart. And then I just felt like my life, you know, this sounds so cliche, but my life kind of, like pass before my eyes or in my imagination. And kind of the word that came along with that was, you know, there isn't anything wasted in this story. If I were to go into campus ministry, and I had this excitement, you know, that, yeah, you know, there needs to be some kind of intervention, in the, especially at, you know, secular schools where Christianity is put on display in a way that goes beyond the headlines, in a way that's accessible to people who may have been, I guess to the people that are most credible to them, Christianity just seems like it's really lacking. And, you know, college is a great time for people to evaluate things for themselves, to also do it in community, but it's a kind of a newly formed community as young adults. And so, I just felt a strong sense of God's blessing of going in that direction. One of the signs was I just had vision for it. And the kind of thing that calling gets reemphasized and reconfirmed, over and over again. So yeah, that's kind of how it started and also how it continued.
What an amazing, story of yours. I love the truth of how you immediately said no. And, you know, as soon as you say no to the Lord, then you know you're in trouble. And, He's going to take you down the path of the yes. What were your plans? You said you were engaged. Did you meet Carly in college, and did you both have a different vision for your future before that?
Yeah, you know, I guess, you know, I had Carly, my wife, we've been dating since 10th grade at Kamehameha.
Wow.
And I mean, actually, now that you mention it, on March 7th, this year, it'll be 25 years. And so that we, like, from the time we started dating. So that's, I guess, mm-hmm. a milestone, wow. a quarter of a century. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, one of the things that steeped into my theology that didn't belong there was that, you know, the way that God interacts in your life, you know, along with some correct things, but this is just in there, mm-hmm. is that He blesses your plans, mm-hmm. you know, and a plan, and that any vision of success or any version of success must come from God, which, you know, we know that that's not true. You can be so successful at something, and that's not God. God would want you to do something else. And if we look at Jesus's life, I mean, there's so many examples of what doesn't look successful in our standards today, but is Jesus. It's the one who is living the good life. And so I was thinking more of the what to do. So I had always, since I was a little kid, had a vision of, like, you know, whatever, like, makes a lot of money, that's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I just imagined, like, academic accomplishments and internships and those kinds of things building towards that. So I think, I don't know if I put it into question exactly in that moment when I said yes to InterVarsity and to, you know, campus ministry, but it definitely was challenged that mindset of mine. And it had me recenter what it meant to follow Jesus based on more from the what to the who. You know, who is God calling me to love with who I am and what He's given me? So I think oftentimes when people are wrestling with, what should I do? What college should I go to? Or just like any kind of life decision, you kind of build up this, like, pros and cons of, like, you know, let me think about the pros of saying yes to this or no to this, or, you know, the cons, right? And you compare things based on that. And I think so often when we look at the life of the disciples, when we look at Jesus, it's a matter of who's God calling us to love. And sometimes we have high definition clarity around, you know, all the details surrounding it. And other times, you know, you just have to stand by a road and wait for a chariot to come by and start running alongside it. And then you might pick up, you know, why God, you know, opened that door or called you there.
Yeah.
So,
So good. What a redirection of thought when you're, if I'm understanding you, when you're faced with a choice of, you know, is this God calling me or what is my direction? The question isn't where am I going, but who are you sending me to love? Wow. That makes all the difference when you're looking at some big life decisions, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
How did your ministry grow? You were there for, was it 20 years? How did the ministry of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship grow at Columbia?
Let me see. So I guess, you know, one of the things that compelled me from the beginning to be there was that we just kind of interviewed a bunch of students on campus and asked them about their backgrounds, you know, they're like their religious or non-religious backgrounds and what their current understanding was about like the Christian faith. And, but 9 out of 10 students, you know, had a non-religious background. And when it came to their thoughts about Christianity, it was fairly negative. But when we asked them what their understanding was about the gospel, they'd say, I'm not really sure. At that point, people would kind of, you know, have some level of confusion. And so in a lot of ways, people were rejecting Christianity, but not understanding what they were rejecting. And so I was always maybe scarred in a good way that there's inherent power in the gospel or in the story of Jesus and what he's done. And, you know, in Luke 11, you know, after the famous Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, if anyone would ask, seek, or knock, your Father in heaven would give you the Holy Spirit. And so I remember, you know, one of the atheist students in like a discussion group that we were having said, you know, isn't that presumptuous that God would like kind of be accessible to every individual? You know what I mean? That, you know, the claim in a sense is that, you know, in your own way, and we've all experienced this, like God's met us. And the critical piece, you know, for us not missing his kind of voice in our life or his maybe whisper, is the posture of our hearts. You know, how well are we listening, and how do we ask and seek and knock? And maybe quiet the things that are drowning out the voice of Jesus. And so I think the ministry really built around that kind of faith in God's real presence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think what I saw in students, Christian students at the time is, you know, even to this day, I look at, you know, people in their workplaces and how they think about calling. They see God as being extremely available and relevant to whatever they're doing. And they're asking, you know, God to be at the center of their lives. And, you know, I was just speaking with an alum earlier today, and just such a sense of purpose. And, you know, he's not kind of an ideal situation right now. He's kind of in between jobs, but he knows that his calling isn't synonymous with his job.
Right.
And so in that sense, his calling has never been clearer. He just doesn't know the kind of manifestation, exact manifestation yet of how it's going to materialize into money. But yeah, so in that sense, you know, we got to just have a front row seat maybe into, you know, God revealing himself to people and almost being like that John the Baptist, being in that John the Baptist role, like, you know, how do you help to lower the barriers or raise up, you know, the valleys so that people can discover God for themselves or be a part of a community that a flawed and broken community that still reflects and interacts with Jesus.
You're listening to Ashley Bird. Ashley has for 2 decades followed the calling of the Lord to love the students, love the faculty at Columbia University in New York. And he has seen fruit. It hasn't always been easy. There have been challenging moments, but he has seen the hand of God graciously work in the lives of students, some of whom have gone on to graduate school and get their PhD, some of whom are have returned to become members of the faculty. And as that has taken place, Ashley, by God's grace, his influence in the lives of people of influence has continued to grow. When we come back from our break, we'll talk more with Ashley. Along the way, he even went to Africa, to Gulu, Uganda. We'll let him talk a little bit with us about that and how these broader experiences have helped to shape who he is today and the work of Veritas Forum and the expansive reach throughout North America as Ashley serves in a critical role. Veritas.org and more from Ashley Byrd when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Aloha Lani Ka'a here in studio, co-hosting The Good Life Radio with Danny Yamashiro. Our guest today, Ashley Byrd, he's a proud graduate of Kamehameha Schools, class of 1998. But he went on to Columbia, and he has been there for 20-plus years, working on campus after graduating with the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship Ministry. What an amazing opportunity that has been for you, Ashley. But you've also done some mission work, and we talked a little bit about it before the break. What led you to go on a mission to Africa?
So our ministry at Columbia, you know, really centered around, you know, students both kind of being fully immersed in their current college experience and looking at what it means to just be a faithful presence of Jesus and a community of Jesus on campus. But it also looked at, you know, how do you steward the kind of resources and opportunities that God would open up for his purposes in the world. And the situation with going to Uganda, I guess it started with, I can't really remember exactly how it started, but the kind of rough strokes is that students were really interested in what was happening there. There was a civil war. They saw a documentary. I mean, basically, they just really desired to kind of do something. And, you know, a lot of trips I think, could waste a lot of money. You know, you could take the money that you spend on a trip and use it to impact, you know, the place on the ground, or, you know, maybe missions at its worst is you think that you have everything to offer into a community and, you know, don't do enough listening to see, you know, what you might learn and, you know, God's other purposes for bringing you there. And so we were really blessed to be hosted by World Vision. And what World Vision did was just so generous for us, you know, for this, you know, community of students in New York City, where, you know, a lot of the students who went were interested in like sustainable development and, you know, how to provide holistic care, you know, for communities of need. And so World Vision kind of gave us a, took some time within their calendar year to say, hey, let's evaluate how we're doing at these places. And let's, you know, let's give these different communities in Northern Kenya and Northern Uganda an opportunity to also celebrate some of the things that's happened. And, you know, the students at Columbia had already raised a lot of money, and communities on the ground had done things like creating markets where, you know, a group of women, kind of older women, shared their profits, specialized in different things, created homes for children that were returning from being child soldiers when their parents wouldn't kind of want them. And the another thing was like, you know, we went to this health clinic that they built because I forgot how many women died on their way to like the closest birthing center was just really far away. And so by the time we got there, maybe like a month and a half or 2.5 months after it was built, there are already like 55 children born there. And so, you know, we just got to meet with people, and really they were just celebrating what they had built with their own hands. You know, someone donated the land, and we had provided the grant to pay, you know, workers, you know, in the area to build this. And there's just a celebration of a needed celebration to say, here's what God has done. Mm-hmm. So really it was more like a learning trip, and it encouraged the students, you know, to be a bit more rigorous, just seeing how World Vision, you know, it took them 10 years to create like this area development program where they worked with all the leaders first in the community and said, hey, like our main goal is to not have to be here anymore. And so let's create a, you know, a process, a relationship that hopefully helps, you know, more sustainable things to happen. You know, one that's holistic, that focuses in on education, housing, health, yeah, just a lot of the outcomes that are interdependent on each other. So I think that's the, that's kind of the shape of what we got to be a part of. And when we got back, you know, students continued their activism. And even to this day, the students that went on the trip are leaders and, you know, work in different kind of spaces geared towards helping people. I remember a couple of engineers, they won like the national competition like 2 years in a row of Engineers Without Borders. They built like some kind of engine that helped the people in the village in Uganda to kind of like harvest their crops so that the kids could go to school. I don't, you know, I'm not an engineer, so I don't know exactly what they built, but it was something like that. And yeah, it's just yeah, it was a gift to be able to be a part of that, and to even just have our eyes opened as well to just how God works in the world.
How amazing it is, as I listen to you, that I think you said in the very beginning, they just wanted to do something. You know, we have gifts and talents. You go to a great school like Columbia. You've had training and learning, but none of it is worth anything unless you give it away. And you're leading this group to teach the young people that giving your gifts away is the best way to success, joy, all the things that they learned from that experience. It really speaks to me. And I'm sure there was a lot of joy yourself just being able to grow that that group that, as you say, is still very strong today.
Yeah, I mean, the some of my best memories are, you know, just different moments of being a part of, you know, this community that is ever changing. You have to say goodbye a lot. You know, it's on a 4-year turnover, you know, kind of cycle. But you know, we lived in Harlem, which was not too far from the campus, about a 15-minute walk from our apartment to the campus. And so a bunch of students ended up living with us at different points after they graduated, or living around us and going to the same church. And so, you know, just being able to do life together and continue to discern, you know, just how God might be inviting us to provide a Christian testimony and witness, just in our presence in the city. That's, you know, it's just, yeah, there's a lot of joy when there's a community of people committed to the same thing.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about Veritas Forum. How does that intersect with your work at Columbia?
Yeah, so I guess when I first kind of was able to articulate what I thought was the need there in terms of a Christian presence, what I noticed was, you know, there's a high reputation when it comes to education, but when that education overlaps with maybe the Bible or, you know, anything about Christianity, it's fairly negative. And so if you were to kind of see, you know, the university experience in a relationship to people's maybe religious thoughts or thoughts about Christianity, they probably diverge after a while. They're kind of seen as opposites. So the more educated you get, the further apart, you know, from believing these archaic things or whatever. And so a lot of that has to do with who do you know? And whether we admit it or not, as Christians, we really have some things passed down to us. And Christianity is oftentimes better caught than taught. Even our understanding of Scripture so often has been shaped by people who have lived it out. And so what we decided to do with the Veritas Forum is utilize kind of the platform that's credible within the university, meaning, you know, in the university, there's a value, a high value for things that are academically rigorous. You know, there's a certain kind of person that has proven themselves in that training ground. And despite popular opinion, there's actually a lot of Christians who would be, in a sense, unexpected validators, meaning, you know, people would expect a pastor to believe in God, but would you expect a physicist or, you know, a sociologist? And so just featuring these Christian voices alongside maybe secular peers to maybe not debate an issue, but to have Christians contribute. If Christianity really has, you know, something to offer, it should be evident everywhere. And so allowing these Christian brothers and sisters to bring the breadth and the beauty of the Christian story to the public, you know, some things that were, you know, maybe obvious to them within their fields, but, you know, now other people get to see, you know, how maybe as an evolutionary biologist, you see more room for God in his sovereignty and in his beauty and creativity. And, you know, just diving into conversations with respect and rigor also has its own value, especially now when, you know, things are kind of driven by headlines, to see people enter into dialogue across deep difference, maybe trying to solve the same problems.
Yeah.
So can Christians model that? Can our reputation be such that, you know, the people who don't have a religious faith or a Christian faith in our lives or around us, you know, when they want to process something regarding faith or a problem even in the world that isn't necessarily, you know, kind of rooted in faith, that they think, man, you know who would be great to talk to about this? Christians. Right now, that's not, there's an uphill battle with that, and we haven't stewarded our public voice well, but can we start to create those platforms? And so that's our aspiration. Wow. We don't always hit that, but it's something we try to do.
Ashley Byrd, what a great goal. We call that a big, audacious goal. Give a voice to a different, sometimes even opposing opinion on what is going on in the world today. But with your experience, Ashley, you certainly can say that there is a Christian voice that can not only speak with education and with quality from the rigor of study, but also with faith and a grounding in the Word of God. and how desperately this world needs more of that voice. And I love how you say it hasn't been stewarded well, but Veritas is a organization willing to make that process happen. Ashley Bird is the director of forums for Veritas, and we have one more break, and we will be back to talk a lot more with Ashley about what he is doing today, along with Veritas, to bring the voice of the Christian into the public forum. What an important goal, what an important time, what a need we have for that. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Ashley Bird.
Of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha lani ka'a'a here in studio with Danny Yamashiro. We're joined today by the Director of Forums at the Veritas Forum. His name is Ashley Bird, and he is a local boy, proud graduate of Kamehameha Schools. But at the Veritas Forum, he is responsible for students, staff, and faculty hosting public forums that model and inspire conversations about faith on campuses across North America. Wow, Ashley, that description has challenge written all over it. Tell us about your job and how's it going?
Let's see, where do I start? Maybe at an unexpected place. Sometimes I think when I first went to college, I might have seen like a Christian pamphlet at some point that said like, survive your faith in college. Or there's this like, maybe Christians versus the university. And I definitely had like some of that, kind of going on with me in my time in school. But I think what I've started to find is that Jesus has really made a difference in our world and has made his imprint even in the places that we wouldn't expect. And so, for instance, I remember a student, he was going to give like the convocation speech, meaning, it's like the first day when all the freshmen are there and their parents are dropping them off and they hear from the president of the university say something like, welcome, and, it's going to be an awesome, 4 years or whatever. This student was our worship leader, and there was some pushback from some of the organizers of convocation saying, hey, we think you should leave out your, or we'd like you to leave out your affiliation with the Christian organization because, it's a diverse audience and some people could feel isolated. And what he ended up saying was, actually, what you see here in all my other kind of the reasons why you want me to speak, all the other areas of leadership, it's actually my Christian faith that empowers my desire to serve. And when they heard that, they're like, oh, okay, yeah, that sounds good. Mm. And so, and I've seen that kind of storyline happen over and over again where, there's a concern about Christians and there's still an opportunity in the midst of that concern and maybe even objection to just kind of call the university or call those that we're loving to a higher place. And it's something that resonates with them already. So for instance, if a speaker is going to speak directly about their faith, like the kind of the typical way is like, if it's a diverse audience, just leave out the divisive stuff and come together on the things that are common. Mm. Versus, we're no longer satisfied with being colorblind, right? Like we, 20 plus years ago decided, actually, we want people to bring their whole selves to the public square, to society. And we want Native Hawaiians to say, I'm Native Hawaiian, and, not have to be, lumped in with something else. We want people to be multi-ethnic. So when it comes to like race and ethnicity, as a society, culture, as a university, they've already crossed over and, are kind of still wrestling with it, but, they're not satisfied with people just coming together on common ground. But we're behind when it comes to, and I guess, what are different faith perspectives? Mm. And so we just need more modeling of that. We get to see it done well. And it's hard to do well, but I think as Christians, we're actually, the content of our faith gives us some really key handholds. Like, how do you prioritize, maybe someone that doesn't have as strong of a voice and give them a strong voice? Or how do you help someone be represented in the most generous light? Our goal isn't to win a conversation, because would you invite your friend who's maybe curious about faith to be beat up, mm-hmm. In a conversation? Rather, instead of dehumanizing an audience, think of them as, you would your friend, where, you'd want your friend who's curious to maybe meet with somebody that they'd want to meet with again. Say, oh man, I never thought about it that way. And so we try to think through, who are the peers when it comes to faculty, let's say, people that have mutual respect already coming into the relationship just because they're in the same field or something. How can we set up a conversation there? And it's just worthwhile for people to see that more often.
Yeah. Ashley, just a couple, we have a few minutes left. And I do want to ask, as you are spearheading the expansive work through Veritas, and still your work as faculty director there at, or assistant faculty director at Columbia with InterVarsity, why do you believe the Lord has led you, Carly, Hiva, and Kalama home to Hawaii?
Yeah, so this move was 2.5 years out. And so it was the kind of thing where, in New York City, people tend to not have a big lead-up time when they move. And so we started seeing people that we didn't see too often. They're like, oh, you're still here? Because we told them way in advance that we were moving. And, that really came out of a time of meeting with a spiritual director. And it was a very intimate word, with God and just being connected to him as Father and giving us just kind of an open door and a choice, an open door to make a choice to live here, that we could live out our calling from here. And so, you know, for me, I just, you know, Hawaii, in so many ways is hospitable to Christianity, to God and the gospel. And I just thought, man, you know, I really feel like my calling is, you know, to kind of maybe the rougher ground. And I was, after getting this word from God that, hey, we have choices, are we really, like, do I have that kind of choice? You know, I didn't anticipate things going virtual, but yeah, 2.5 years ago, we just decided, yeah, God has something for us there. We'll be able to live our calling, you know, from there. And, you know, more options actually did open up. And that's kind of how it happened. Why it happened? Why are we here? Part of it is to love our family. You know, God's given us space now in our lives where we can be more proximate to our more extended family and even our, you know, our parents, and to love them well. There's just a way that you can't love people when you're not close, in proximity. Also, I think just to experience the gift of being home. It's hard to describe to people, you know, when we think about Hawaii as home, it's not a house. You know, there's a connection to the land and the people, but there's just, it's just a bit more holistic of what home means. I mean, that, and that's a gift that, you know, God wanted to give us, that we weren't sure that was ever going to happen. And so, yeah, and, you know, and we do want to be a blessing to our immediate community here. You know, what does it mean to, yeah, to give back to our homeland, you know, here and to our people. And so, yeah, we're hoping that, yeah, just being here will give us some space to do that.
Ashley, you and Carly, you, Hiva, and Kalama have been given the gift to return home. And you are a gift to the islands, to our country, and to the world. So fitting words, Ashley, fitting words. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Ashley Bird, and fitting words indeed from him. Veritas.org, dear friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, we believe this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video set up for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers or financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. I thank you in advance. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Ashley Bird, Veritas.org. Until next time, along with my co-host and guest coordinator Lonnie Ka'ala, technical producer Chaz Ontai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.